Don't move.
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster.
One thing she's not. She ain't Beyonce.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When I see Brock Purdy, man, I just see a baby-faced kid.
I think he's fearless.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Roku's The Cupcake Guys. Michael Griffin, Brian Arakpo, and Brian Hineson. And now, sitting in for Rich.
She ain't Beyonce.
It's Susie Schuster.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Hour two underway. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner with us momentarily. 844-204-RICH. Watch us on the Roku channel. Happy to be with you right here. For all of you on hold, I see you. I'm coming to you. Just bear with me. I want to get to a Hall of Famer first, if you don't mind. And Kurt joins us right now on the Rich Eisen Show. Kurt, did Brenda tell you I left her a message looking for you this morning?
Nah, we haven't crossed paths much this morning, so she did not tell me that.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, and you'll understand this because Brenda and I are tight. I was looking for you this morning. Rich was looking for you. And so I called her because I left her a message saying, like, don't you hate it when people call you looking for your husband? So she will call me back at any time and we will have a good laugh over it.
She probably didn't get back to you because she hates that.
So, by the way, I know.
No offense.
No, I know she does. By the way, that's what I said to her. I'm like, I know that you understand this. So, by the way, help. Hey, Kurt, Brock Purdy, how do you relate to the situation that he's in right now?
I think I relate a little bit. I never like to do, I think we too often we kind of try to always compare everybody's story where everybody's stories. A little bit different. But the way I look at it is, I've actually been following Brock for a while. He's a young kid that grew up in Arizona, so I knew his Arizona ties, which is where I reside now. He obviously played in Iowa, so I'm always trying to follow the teams to a degree back there. I love what Coach Campbell did at Iowa State, so we followed their program. So I watched him play a lot. My son, Cade was playing at K-State, so they played him the last couple years. So I've followed Brock a lot along the way. And, so when I watch him play, I'm not surprised and in awe of it like a lot of people. And, whether that's a good thing or bad thing, I don't know. But he played a lot of football in college, and he was a guy that played the position the right way, could process information, wasn't going to wow you necessarily with anything he did physically, but he was going to play the position. And that's exactly what he's doing now. He finds himself in a great situation with a lot of talent around him, which is, to me, never a knock. And now you got to go in and you have to do your job. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's doing his job. He's making plays. It's not just like, he's just back there. Anybody could do it. He's making plays for them. He's making reads. But it doesn't have to wow you. And that's what I've always believed. If you know how to play the position, and you've played that the way your entire life, you get into the NFL, you can play that way and have success. And that's where Brock is right now. And so I love that he found himself a great situation with a lot of talent, so he didn't have to step in and try to carry a team or, be more than he is right now, as a rookie player. But at the same time, he's playing in that system very, very well. He seems to fit that system very well, and that's probably where I can connect the most, is when I got with the Rams, I was surrounded by a lot of talent as well, but I was in a system that played to my strengths. And, my strengths were throwing the ball down the field and attacking, and, we threw the ball 35, 40 times a game. It was just kind of the makeup that I had, and so I found myself in a great system with talented players. I think Brock has found himself in a system that makes sense to him, surrounded by great players, and he's been able to go in and do what he's capable of doing very quickly. So it's been fun to watch. But unlike a lot of people, I kind of knew a little bit about Brock, and I'm not nearly as surprised as a lot of people are.
So do you believe there's been too much hype then associated with him?
Too much hype? I don't think there's ever too much hype when you've got guys that play good football first, whether they're rookies or veterans, if they're playing good football, if they're winning football games, I don't think there's ever too much hype because that's what the game is all about. The fact that he is a rookie. I mean, we've seen a lot of rookies come in and, have their struggles. And so to see a rookie come in, again, all the stuff we want to point to, all the stuff around, but It doesn't matter to me. If I can watch the film and see a guy process information and do the right thing with the football and not make a bunch of mistakes where I'm like, I don't have any idea what he was doing or what he was looking at. If you can just play the position well, I think it's impressive for a young guy that I know didn't practice a whole lot, that they weren't really planning on using him with Trey and Jimmy, to get thrown in there and to have played as consistently well as he has. I don't think we're overhyping it. Just to me, you know, I think he came out of nowhere for a lot of people, and that's why I think there's even more hype when, you know, I'm sure for Brock and for people that knew him are just saying, well, we don't have to overhype it that way. You're like, we knew this kid could play, and he's just showing you on the biggest stage.
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Let's spin you around the games for Saturday if we can ask you to prognosticate a bit. Let's start with Jags at Chiefs. What are you expecting?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think this is probably on paper the most lopsided game of the weekend. You know, just because I think we all know who the Chiefs are, what they're capable of, you know, the quarterback that they have, that I think, you know, most people are going to assume that the Chiefs are going to advance in this game. You know, when you look at the Jags, they got a bunch of good young players, and they're going to need those young players to play really, really well to win this game. We know that they're capable of it. They've been on a run here at the end of the season. They've played better football. What they did in the second half against the Chargers, that a lot of people want to, you know, talk about how the Chargers blew it and all of these things. You know, when you go back and watch the second half of that game, I kind of assumed when I would put on the tape that the Chargers had, would just give them easy plays. And, you know, somehow they allowed them to get back because they were just doing things that, you know, were kind of easy high hoppers for the Jags. And that wasn't the case. It took the Jags making play after play, Trevor Lawrence throw after throw. Christian Kirk made some really great catches, contested catches. But they had to play football, and they had to execute. And they executed really, really well as they have down the stretch. So this team can play, and it's got a lot of guys that are playmakers on this team. But I still think they're going to have to play their best. The one thing I always look at with Trevor Lawrence is that as good as he is at times, he misses too many layups for me to kind of put him in that, you know, that next, you know, tier of quarterbacks. And what I mean by that is just, you know, there's throws or reads that to me, you know, you have to make as a starting quarterback, and you have to make them most of the time. And too often, you know, he'll make some special throws, but he'll miss a number of those layups throughout a game. And I don't think you can do that against this Chiefs team. I think you're going to have to be efficient. You're going to have to play for an entire game the way you did in the second half last week, and that's going to be a telltale sign. And then somehow their defense is going to have to, you know, last time they played, they created 3 turnovers and still got beat by 10 points. But they're going to have to create some big plays, force Patrick into some mistakes, I think, if they're going to win this game.
Moving on to the second game on Saturday, Giants and Eagles. Giants at the Eagles. What do you think?
We know, you know, coming off of obviously the game last week against Minnesota, you know, was really excited about where the Giants are and how they were playing. And Daniel Jones kind of had a career game. So I went into this thing thinking, man, this could be, you know, this is probably going to be a lot closer than, you know, than we saw in that regular season matchup when the starters played. And then I went back and watched the tape of the two games, Eagles against the Giants. And the Eagles had their way with the Giants offensively. Like, a couple times they didn't score in the red zone, especially in that last game. But it was hard for the Giants to slow them down at all in both of those games. And so even though I went in thinking this Giants are playing well, this is going to be a better game than I thought, you know, after watching the tape, I'm a little more concerned for the Giants. They're going to need, again, they're going to need big performances from their stars, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley. They're going to need some guys up front on defense to create some, you know, some negative plays, which they did the second time in the red zone, which is going to be key. But just looking at this game, assuming we get a Jalen Hurts that's, you know, playing somewhat close to the way he did during the regular season, I think this is going to be tough for the Giants. But again, third time around, they're playing their best football. I'm hoping that they can, you know, throw something out there and Brian Daboll can continue his magic to make this a close game, but definitely leaning towards the Eagles in this one.
Kurt Warner here on The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Let's go to Sunday. Bengals at Bills.
You know, this is an interesting one. I mean, both teams are on win streaks. You know, both teams have dynamic, special quarterbacks. Both teams have, great playmakers on the outside. They got defenses that can step up and play big in any moment. But if I'm kind of, reasoning this thing out, for some reason I'm leaning towards the Bengals here. And, just a few weeks ago before everything happened with DeMar when they were going to play on Monday, I had picked the Bills in that game and thought, just Josh Allen and his specialness was going to be able to overcome, how good the Bengals were playing. But to me, Josh is such a wild card. In a good way and sometimes in a bad way, that it's just always playing, with the pedal to the metal, always playing 100 miles an hour, trying to make every single throw on every single snap. And, that leaves me kind of just going, there's ups and downs sometimes within the course of games. And the Bengals are so steady most of the time. Joe's, pretty steady. Not that he doesn't make mistakes, but that he's pretty steady throughout a game. And that's what you've seen during their run, is they're just kind of slow and steady, and they do their thing, and they don't ever panic, and they, very seldom do you see Joe just kind of, hey, I got to make every play and throw the ball up. And so as much as I believe Josh Allen can take over this game and win this game and move on, because we've seen it a million times, I'm just a little concerned about that up and down play. We saw it again last week. They were up, 17 against Miami, and you thought it was going to be a blowout, and then, Josh missed a few things, and they become turnovers instead of just an incomplete pass, and now Miami's able to kind of fight their way back. And so that concerns me a little bit. So I think, my head, I'm leaning towards the Bengals a little bit in this one, but I do think it's a great matchup. I think these quarterbacks will – go swing for swing with each other, and it'll be a great football game.
Lastly, the big marquee game, Cowboys at 49ers, Kurt.
I'm going with the 49ers until you show me different. And as good as the Cowboys were on Monday, I think you take a couple things into consideration. The first thing you take into consideration is, who the Bucs were all year long. And that was really no different on Monday. Their offense struggled to move the football, their defense was kind of all over the place. And so as good as Dak and company played in that game, I'm not ready to just go, oh, because they played that way, this is who the Dallas Cowboys are. We've seen the same thing with the Cowboys, a lot of up and down. We know they can score points. We know they can do, some really good things, and they've got some playmakers on defense. So, if they play really well, I think this is going to be a good football game. But I'm still going to lean towards the 49ers just because I think they have more ways to beat you, and they don't make as many mistakes on average as the Dallas Cowboys. And so, this one's going to be fun because I think there's some ways that you can, take advantage of what the 49ers do on defense or kind of slow them down and do some things against them. And I think Dallas is capable of doing those things against them. So I'm interested to see how they play this game. But until you show me you can slow down this 49er team and all their different weapons and what they do on both sides of the ball, I'm going to lean towards the 49ers to win this one.
Kurt, I know we don't get much time with you. Last question. Tom Brady, what do you think he's going to do? Get into his brain.
I don't think he's going to be back with the Bucs. So I think if he plays, he's going to play somewhere else. So I think a part of the factor becomes where else can he play? What are the options for him first and foremost? Because we know Tom Brady doesn't play just to play. He plays to win. And so he wants to be in a place where he can win. And so I think that'll be a factor along the way, what he thinks the possibilities are. I think the biggest thing to me is that it just didn't seem like Tom was enjoying the ride this year. Now, which way does that push him? Does that mean, it was tough. We know a lot of stuff going on in his personal life. It was just a tough year for him. So maybe that was just like, man, this year was so hard on and off the field for me. I want to come back and do it again because of all those things. I didn't play to my best. Or does it push him in the other direction where he says, man, this year was so hard and it wasn't a lot of fun and it's not, football as I know football. Maybe it's time to just step away. Start over again, not take a chance of, having another season like that and just kind of riding off into the sunset and get back to enjoying life, because it is such a grind to play in the NFL, and with the expectation that is always laid on Tom Brady, that's a heavy thing. And so, yeah, I wonder if those things will push him one way or another. And then maybe most importantly, you know, does he feel like there's a place out there that would want him, that would sign him, and that would, you know, be a team that in the short term, meaning probably within 1 year like Tampa, is ready to go win a Super Bowl.
Kurt, I would be remiss if I didn't say congratulations on your son's good run this year.
Thank you. Yeah, both of them had great runs. You know, my son Kate at K-State winning the Big 12 and playing in the Sugar Bowl, and he had a great year leading the team in touchdown reception. So it's been fun to watch him, you know, in his last year kind of blossom and have a great year, and the team do so well. And then EJ, who's out at Temple, is a true freshman, the true freshman All-American, playing quarterback out there. So it was a great year for my boys in the game of football. It was so much fun to watch both of them shine and see their journeys take off in different ways.
What makes you more nervous, watching them or you playing?
Yep, always. you know, you start to realize, you know, my wife told me, you know, so many years when she would watch me, you know, that, you know, she would watch me to A, see if I got up after I took a hit, you know, and then watch me from the lens of, you know, always wanting something positive to happen, you know, every single play, because she understands the scrutiny that comes from the outside. And I never really understood that. Like, just watch the game and enjoy it. Like, enjoy what I do and enjoy the process. And now that I have kids playing, I'm nervous. And probably more so for my quarterback, because I know the ball's in his hands every snap, mm-hmm. and I know mm-hmm. what that's like. And so I'm nervous every time I watch him. I can't eat when I watch him, you know, because you just want something good to happen. You know mistakes happen, but you feel for your kids in that way. You want everything to go right. So definitely a lot more nerve-wracking, a lot tougher to watch than it was to play.
Oh, it's painful, isn't it?
Exactly.
I sound like a hyena. It's embarrassing. My kids don't want to be near me if one of my kids is playing. It's really horrible. Send my love to Brenda. You know, I think she's the greatest in the world.
Will do. We'll see you guys soon.
Thanks for making the time. That's Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. And NetSuite, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That is true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant, supply chains are clogged, and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for margins? Not every business is in the dark. Over 33,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need, all in one place. In 2023, profit is the new growth. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your manual business processes, and see where to save money. Know your numbers. Know your business and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're coming back with some phone calls and then some cupcakes.
This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks. We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season two coming up.
Catch up with season one or start season two on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, powered by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Rich is on assignment today. Happy to be with you. Kurt Warner was just on the show. If you want to access his interview, go back and get it on YouTube. Watch us on the Roku channel. That's where I watch every day. That's where I call in to Chris or TJ and complain about something that Rich had to say or add something else, because I'm a looky-loo. That's just who I am, right? So I go to the Roku channel. I go online. I click Rich Eisen Show. It's very simple. I go to mobile because I'm always in the car because I live in Los Angeles. Boom. And it's easy. Oh. And I love it.
I love it.
All right, that's all I have to say. Let's take a couple calls, if you don't mind, because you know I love calls.
Do it.
A couple people have been waiting for a while. So I want to go first to Matt in Tennessee. Hi, Matt. How are you?
He's on.
Matt, hey, are you
Matt.
There?
Matt, where are you at? You have a really good question, Matt. Too, Matt.
Matt, what up, though?
Matt's Matt. On mute. Unmute us, Matt.
Matt, unmute us. And also, it's right. A good question. And I had to think about an answer.
All right, Matt's back on hold.
All right, Matt, you're back on hold. But let's go to Nathan in L.A. Hi, Nathan. How are you?
I am well. Great to talk to you again.
It's my pleasure.
So I was loving TJ's idea about a Gronk show. Rather than make it another form of prank show where Gronk pranks other people, I think it should be an open forum dare kind of a show in the opposite direction, where so fans
dare Gronk.
Could come up with some kind of elaborate dare for Gronk to do, and he picks one or two of them per episode, depending on how sophisticated they are, and he does them.
Here's my question. Do you have an agent? Should we get together
like
and
to
talk? Yeah, I think we should maybe talk about this. Truth or Gronk?
Truth or Gronk.
By the way.
That's pretty good.
That's a great show.
That's pretty good.
Truth or Gronk.
I mean, Truth or Gronk is nice.
I know a few people. I used to work in the industry. We could probably set something up.
Nathan, what happens if... So let's just project, okay? 2 years come. You're watching Fox, and it's up next at 8 o'clock. Truth or Gronk? Truth or Gronk, brought to you by the Rich Eisen Show. Truth or Gronk? Is that, can I take the idea? Are you giving me this idea on national television? I just want to know. I want to be clear.
Well, yes, but it's now recorded. I mean, you're speaking into national radio right now.
Wow.
So
that's a good point. Well, he actually took my idea. So technically.
Well, not the dare part.
We could.
We added the dare part. This is a workshop. All four of us get credit.
By the way, I mean, Nathan, I will cut you in. I think this is a great idea. Truth or Gronk? Honestly, I would watch that.
I'm watching anything.
And Gronk, you know Gronk would do it. I mean, he could. There's not many things you could throw Gronk's way without making it, defending his life maybe, but he would probably go for it.
Yeah, but will he come back and catch a football from Tom Brady is what I want to know. Hey, Nathan, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
I guess we lost Matt in Tennessee. But
oh, he's gone.
He's gone. But the question was,
Mikey, what happened?
What does Rich do that's embarrassing that he wouldn't want people to know?
Oh.
It's not easy to embarrass Rich Eisen. So
when someone has no shame, they can't be shamed.
They can't be shamed. Now, I will tell you, there are several things that embarrass me, but that wasn't the question.
That he does?
That he does?
So
we're asking you.
Shall I just share one?
Just a quick
about
one.
My wonderful husband. This is it.
We're all friends.
Yeah, go, Susie.
He does this dance thing with Taylor.
Yes.
Do you see this?
He does it here.
It's like, he does it here when he shimmies. Like I don't know if I can do this like on Roku, but like he does this very funny dance that's very uncomfortable to watch.
That's the pitchers walking in from the outfield too when there's a fight. That's he's kind of doing that.
Well,
that's like the slow speed chase, right? That's like the little. If he does that, that's what he. That's what he's doing.
He does his little shoulder. Have you seen that, Chris? Have you ever seen his little shoulder
that's
dance?
Him dancing?
That's how he dances.
Dancing? Dancing?
But hold on. I got to hold my microphone because, like, hold on. Hold on a minute. I got to get up. He does this thing where he just I can't do it. I don't know how he does it.
Wait, so he's kind of like the gopher in Caddyshack?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what he is—the goofer from Caddyshack.
Nobody worry about
hey,
me.
Hey, two great movie references today. By the way, it's a little harbinger of things to come because I have a little special thing coming up later on the show. I'm just saying about entertainment, but two really good references to old movies: Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right? Again, because of Trevor Lawrence and Spicoli. Do we have the side by side shot? Any chance, Hoskins? There we go. They are the same person.
It's pretty good.
It's a great one. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
I gotta admit, we do reference Fast Times quite a bit here.
Do you? Yeah. In what way?
Just random quotes It's Seinfeld, The Godfather. What are our most Fast Times?
Our most quoted movies?
Yeah, like Trading Places.
Yeah,
Trading Places is feeling good, Billy Ray. Looking good, Billy Ray. Feeling good, Lewis.
70s, 80s references. Yeah.
This week, Carlito's Way.
Carlito's Way. This yes.
Rich's
yes.
Big Midnight Run.
My brother had me watching Trading Places around the clock. Frozen concentrated orange juice, right? Yeah. Around the
clock. Turn the machines back on.
Turn the machines back on.
Billy Ray, is that you?
I mean, by the way, like that was my coming of age movie, right? Exactly. That was good. You're watching The Offer, Chris.
I am.
How great is that, by the way? It's like one of my favorite shows.
It's good, yeah. The guy who plays Bob Evans is phenomenal.
Matthew Good. Yeah. I really like him.
Yeah, it was. I loved it. And like I told you pre-show, man, after you finish The Offer, you're 1,000% going to go and rewatch Godfather.
Yeah, and I'm like going back and forth with reading, you know, Robert Evans' book. And so I'm just like waiting to get to the Godfather stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I watched every one of the Godfathers, by the way, after seeing that. And by the way, they were even better having seen that. All right, I'm going to just, this is going to be an about face because that's what we do midway through the segment. Rich got together with the guys from Roku for the Cupcake Guys. And by the way, this is my kind of programming. So Rich got together to talk about them, and let's hear what he had to say.
Joining me now here on the Rich Eisen Show are all of the Cupcake Guys, which is available right now on the Roku channel. All episodes have dropped right this week. It is available for everybody starting January 18th. Michael Griffin, Brian Arakpo, and Brian Hinson here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Well, Brian with a Y, you and I have not met before.
Yep.
Brian with an I, I remember us chatting back in the day when you were with Washington, and Michael, you obviously back in the day with Tennessee and so much more. Who wants to handle first how you got into cupcakes? Arakpo, you want to do that first? Go for it.
Yeah, I got you. You know, that's kind of been my bread and butter starting it off. But it literally started me and Griff was, you know, my final tenure in Tennessee. He was in Tennessee. We always we all trained together, all the UT guys. We trained together in Austin in off season, every off season. So, you know, as we get older, more mature, more wise, I started brainstorming, like, guys, what are we gonna do in our second phase of our careers? You know, can't play football forever. You know, we would love to, but you can't, obviously, which you know. And while we're having these conversations in our off-season dinners and hanging out, we always enjoy cupcakes. This is one cupcake spot we used to go to. We literally are eating cupcakes as I'm saying, guys, what do y'all think about opening, you know, doing a cupcake business? You know, these guys laughed at me at first, thought I was crazy, like, Rack, what are you talking about? But, you know, they seen how serious I was, and, you know, long story short, in Tennessee, there's one cupcake spot called GG's Cupcakes that we love. They're big Titans fans. They didn't have any long locations in Austin. So we reached out. We just blind reached out. They thought it was a great idea. We found the location, put everything on paper, and we got the ball rolling. And here we are today with own show, own location, own brand, the Cupcake Guys. I mean, it's literally was a blessing in disguise without even trying. So it was definitely remarkable.
And the Brian with a Y, your relationship is you guys go way back together, right?
Yeah,
back in the day.
So I met Griff and Rag back at University of Texas in Austin. It's our alma mater. We have mutual friends and everything. I used to kick Rag's butt and NBA Live back in the day.
So, why not?
And yeah, we've just been friends since.
And Michael, what's your favorite cupcake? What do you got for me on that?
I mean,
right now, I'm kind of plain Jane. I go with the wedding cake because it's vanilla cupcake with a buttercream frosting. But here and there, you know, you can go to Kentucky bourbon. Or sometimes I'm experiencing different cupcakes. You know, some things can definitely be a bit.
And how did you guys get involved with the Roku channel? I have my own story on that, but you guys were. What do you have, Rack? What do you have?
It started with Smack. Shout out to Smack Entertainment. You know, we've been working with Michael Strahan,
of course,
and Constant Swords for a long time since the beginning of all this, and they kind of make the deals work behind the scenes for us, and they kind of been our head-on approach with coming up with the agencies and the business ideas, and Roku wanted to put a show in the motion, and we got the deal on paper, we got it worked, signed, filmed, delivered, and made it happen, and it's out today for everybody to stream and enjoy it for free, and have a good time watching us act the fool in the bakery.
I love it. Brian Arakpo, along with Brian Hinson and Michael Griffin, here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Cupcake Guys. All episodes are available now on the Roku channel, a 6-episode docuseries following these entrepreneurs operating a Gigi's Cupcake franchise in their hometown of Austin, Texas. What is your expectation level of Arch Manning? Anybody? What do you got for me?
You know what? I always say a lot of those quarterbacks, especially the first year, it's a learning curve. I think it's the first opportunity for these young men to become men. And I think it even gets more intriguing when you look at the NIL deals and trying to balance it out that you know, you're not the normal kid anymore. Now you got finances and things and those type of things. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this program is going with Coach Sarkisian. And a lot of these guys they've been leaning on Bijan Robinson back for the last couple of years. And now it's time for some other young men to step up and become a different football team. So I'm very excited to see where this team goes next year.
Brian, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I'm going to chime in. I mean, I'm going to go a different approach. You know, kudos to Texas. They improved from the 5-7 season to the 8-4 season, I believe. So they're improving under Coach Sark. But as far as with the Archie thing, it's just a wait and see. You know, I don't want to we go into every year putting so high expectations on these young men, especially at the University of Texas. We all know it's so many expectations to play there. And so I just want to let him just lower the expectations. Let's see what happens. I'm just going to wait. Because we go into every year with, you know, championship aspirations, this, that, and the other. And always, you know, doesn't work out. So I'm just going to be a wait and see. I'm going to be throwing up my hook'em signs every Saturday. And hopefully get those W's with Archie or whoever's in charge.
Well, I just don't know how you can lower the expectation when you're joining the SEC. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, here we go. Like, this is...
Nah, you're right. It's going to be challenging. That's what... It's going to be very challenging. You know, back when we played, it wouldn't have been no issue. but now it's the juggernaut of football, of college football. So I will say this. A lot of people go to the SEC schools to play big time games in the SEC. Now that you mean to tell me I don't have to go to Tuscaloosa, I get to stay in Austin, Texas, a beautiful city, and play the big time games. I mean, that's very appealing. So I'm excited for the future of the recruits because they get to stay in Austin and play the games that they want to play while in the SEC. So we'll see what happens.
Well, if you don't mind, but, you know, this is not our first rodeo. We go way back, so I feel comfortable being able to say, you should go the other direction, Brian. What you're being way too chill and humble about it. You should say, we're coming for the SEC and create the Nick Saban cupcake, the Kirby Smart cupcake. You know, just go for it, man. Just shove it, like. Yeah.
You know how this goes.
The Alabama cupcake, you know, like, go for it. Come on.
You know how this goes, though. I mean, you used to cover me and Washington all the time. If I say that type of stuff, it'll be on SportsCenter, and then now we got to
spell your name right. Let's get the cupcake guys out there. What better way to get your name out there than talk some serious smack and create cupcakes for the rest of the SEC opponents?
We're some humble guys.
being the cupcake guys, you don't want to get nobody no ammo. That's too much ammo to go with it right now. So let's just stay humble. Let's just ride. Let's just keep eating the humble pie. Let's just ride it out and see where it's going.
I'm just trying to take you in the... This is the only thing I know how. I'm just trying to brand it for you. I'm trying to get you out there.
We learned from Mac Brown a long time ago. He
That's
said,
true.
Butter them up. And then when it's game time, go out there and kick their ass. That's what he used to say.
Butter up the cupcakes. You know, butter them up. That's all. Is there going to like a Bevo cupcake, a McConaughey cupcake? Like, what do we got here?
You got Undertaker cupcake. You know, Undertaker's in Austin, too. So, of course, it's always... UT cupcake. So
yeah, we got all types of different local stuff. You know, the Key Boston Weird Vibe, the Longhorn Bevo. It's all you know by the certain weeks of the season, certain times of the year. We know how to whip it up. Our recipe book is like crazy.
Okay. So,
Beto cupcake, the Abbott cupcake. You know, we got a little bit of everything.
Does the Undertaker cupcake rise after you think it's cooked? Is that the way the Undertaker?
Pretty much, that's what happened. It rises.
Pretty much. Okay.
Once you think it's dead and it's burning, it rises right back.
Okay. Very good. Pick it up. You guys have a Super Bowl prediction? What do you got for me?
Come
on.
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be the Eagles. Things going to be the Eagles versus the 49ers, but.
Okay.
For some reason, I think the 49ers is going to be this little glamour story. It might be some type of great thing about Brock Purdy being able to do some
okay.
Special
and they beat the Chiefs, the Bills, the Broncos. What do you got in that one?
I mean, I'm sorry.
you're in the cupcake business. I know you don't know the conferences. That's okay, Michael. It's good.
AFC is difficult. I mean, Bills.
Okay.
I got Bengals versus the Eagles, and I say Bengals win. But you know, my prediction changes every week. I think it's the Bengals.
What about you, Brian?
Same thing. I got Eagles, Bengals. I mean, Joe Burrow has been clutch. He's my fantasy quarterback. He rolled me all the way to the championship this year.
Yes.
So I got to ride with the Bengals.
Okay. Well, it's good to catch up with you guys, Brian Arakpo. And Brian Henson and Michael Griffin, they are the Cupcake Guys. It's available right now on the Roku channel. All episodes have dropped. Thanks for joining me on the program, sirs.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And I'll tell you right now, guys, Cupcake Guys, send some cupcakes here.
Yes.
I mean, let me just say it. Like, we're Roku family, right?
Yeah. We're Roku family, man.
Where are the cupcakes? We would like some cupcakes. We'd like to sample these cupcakes. Also, Brian Arakpo. I mean, what a bunch of pipes on him, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, you can hear his voice resonating in his body.
Yeah.
I think we have to come up with a list of other shows we're going to pitch Roku then, because I mean, Cupcake Guys, would Roku want Truth or Gronk? Because we got a deal.
We got a deal.
I'm just saying, like, Nathan and I we're tight.
We got to cut Nathan in.
Yeah.
With the three of us, Mike, you're out.
What's the Jim Harbaugh cupcake, you guys? What would Jim Harbaugh want as his cupcake?
Blood, I got enough money,
blood,
TV,
sweat, and tears and frosting?
Steak, whole milk.
Does it taste like chicken?
What would your cupcake be, TJ?
My cupcake?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Cupcakes are delicious. I don't know, man.
Little funfetti birthday cakes.
I'm not sure. I've never thought about that.
Love funfetti.
He loves
cake.
A funfetti cake.
Oh,
so delicious.
All the time when we get Susie cakes for the kids at the funfetti, he'll power it down.
Funfetti.
Mikey D, what's your cupcake?
Straight vanilla.
Not a red velvet guy?
Nope. Straight vanilla. That's it.
Vanilla? So vanilla cake, vanilla frosting?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
I do have a tendency to go red velvet now that I think about it.
Yeah.
What is that, vanilla velvet?
What is this? Beautiful. What is this, velvet? Straight vanilla, Mike?
Straight vanilla.
No chocolate frosting?
No, I don't like cakes with the crap in it. Like I don't need any crap in the cake.
That's I don't like only. Cakes with the crap in it.
I can't remember the last time I had a cupcake.
Cupcakes are amazing. Oh, my God.
I'm not a cupcake. I'm a brownie cookie girl.
Okay.
I'm not a cupcake person.
Brownies are great.
And every time you stop by the mall, you know, one of those places in town, they have the vending machine.
Oh, the cupcake vending machine?
Yeah.
That's genius. I'd walk right by.
Genius.
If it is a cupcake, I'd say no, except for, of course, if it came from Gigi's. But if it's a cookie or a brownie, I'm in. I can't walk by.
Yeah, brownies are there. That's a good brownie.
Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Spectacular.
Spectacular. So brownie wars on Roku. We could pitch that.
Brownie wars.
I'm who can that. I get to do brownie wars with me? Like, who should my co-host be for that? Is that you? I was going to go with Shaq, Blockman, but I mean...
I mean, I'm
like
featured on desserts. The Roku channel every day, but I have a mega sweet tooth.
Yeah, right. He does like desserts, Brockman.
Big dessert guy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Barkley would be a good co-host for that. Brownie Wars, right?
Yeah, probably.
Travel the country, sampling the best brownies.
But Chuck's always trying to lose weight.
It's a good way not to lose weight.
Right? Yeah, you're not...
Tough
you're...
luck for being a...
I remember when... Yeah, oh, he would be sorry. Good. Barkley and cupcakes. Yeah, I'm just not like picturing that right now.
These are terrible, Susie.
They're terrible cupcakes. All episodes of the Cupcake Guys are available now on the Roku channel. All episodes dropped the 18th of January. The 6-episode docuseries follows the entrepreneurs operating a Gigi's Cupcake franchise in their hometown of Austin, Texas. I'm just saying, send them, guys. We'll give you some airtime, I think, right? Don't you think we're to be more than delighted to... sample the cupcakes on the air.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. When we come back, we are going to take more calls because someone's asking for relationship advice. And if there's nothing I like more than telling somebody what to do, I don't know what it is. So we're going to do that. And another Gronk TV idea when we come back here on The Rich Eisen Show.
All right.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Call us 844-204-RICH because I love taking calls. Watch us here on the Roku channel, channel 210. Listen on Sirius XM 218, XM 202, or stream for free on the Odyssey app or odyssey.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, whatever you like, at Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to the calls. I don't know who it is, but someone in Tennessee needs my relationship advice, and I am here for it. What can I do for you? The doctor is in.
Hey, Susie.
How are you? Who's this?
Hey, I'm glad to see you here. Sometimes other than Rich, it kind of brightens up my screen.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you are very welcome. But what I got to ask, I got two questions.
Okay.
First question is, I know you're very good friends with Shaq. Have you ever been out in some sort of capacity with Rich and Shaq? And just felt embarrassed, like they just ruined your day, like you're just I'd rather go home.
I've never had that. I've never had I'd rather go home with the two of them, but they are really goofy. When we actually are in the same place, they're very goofy because Shaq's just so goofy.
Oh, I bet.
We ran into him one time with our kids when we were in D.C. It was kind of a shocking thing. Rich came up to the hotel room and said, get downstairs. Shaq's here. So I got the kids downstairs, and I have a very funny photograph because my daughter went up to his knees. But, I have good stories, but those aren't for the air. What else do you have?
I got one more. Since you are a very strong, willpowered female... that has I applaud you on just how strong you are. Okay. I'm just now newly dating again after 2 to 3 years. I met a girl 3 months ago. I work 12 to 15 hour days.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. But she's like, I'm not putting all my time into her. I'm tired, and I have to draw my line somewhere. Like, how much would you say, like, I'm wasting my time? Or how much would you say, like, hey, I appreciate you?
I have to tell you that if I were dating somebody working 12 to 15 hours a day and putting that all in, I would support him 100%. Because any woman worth her druthers will know that you have to help support somebody, make them feel good about themselves no matter what they do. And any woman of a certain age even or has some self-confidence knows that they can't put their whole life into the man either. So I say you're doing the right thing as long as you are kind to her, considerate and listen, go for a walk, do those kind of things, make a little time for her. She should understand just how hard you work.
Thank you.
What do you think?
Thank you. I really need that.
I'm on your side. I know that she should be too. And any, like I said, any woman worth her salt respects when a man has to work hard. because if he's not going to work hard, she's going to be the one working hard for you.
Thank you.
You take care, okay?
Okay, you too.
My pleasure. Let's take another call. Oh, we have Jimmy in San Antonio. You've got an idea for me, and do I have full ownership of it?
¿Cómo estás, señora?
Todo bien. ¿Cómo estás, por tú?
Toma whiskey. Are y'all drinking? Am I the only one?
Toma whiskey. No, oh, you're having whiskey now?
You're the only one. Susie forgot.
I totally forgot.
Oh, man. Hey, Brockman, I got pig whistle. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, you do. Ooh, pig whistle. It's really good.
That's what we talked about last time.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, so what's our idea? What do you have for me? And does it have to do with tequila?
Well, we can negotiate. Okay. Hold on. Okay, I've got this. I'm in on the truth or Gronk. I want in. Nathan, baby, you're beautiful. I love you. I'm in. Now, double dog Gronk, triple dog Gronk. We add that to the vernacular, and then we go next level. If Gronk does a triple dog Gronk, a sponsor of the show donates to Rich, Run Rich Run, and we double dip.
Could we also get them to contribute to Dog Rescue, too, because it's a double dog Gronk?
Bingo.
Okay.
I love it. You're beautiful.
Yeah, well, I'm just full of ideas. I'm just saying. I'm just full of ideas that I'm hoping to own and pitch to the Roku channel. I think, I'm telling you right now, I think double dog Gronk, it's a beautiful idea.
And then the other one for the Roku channel is Judge Susie. Or something along you helping people.
Okay.
You just did a wonderful job.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. I'm here for Judge Susie. I'm just saying that, you know, all rise. I'm here for it.
That's Terzo.
My court is in session. Jimmy, thank you for the call. Love talking to you.
Take care, guys.
The Honorable Susie Schuster.
I'm just saying I can get out the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like the little, you know, the collar.
Yep.
I can bring it out. I do have Ruth Bader Ginsburg socks. I can bring them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I wore yesterday? This is embarrassing.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg t-shirt.
I went into Rich's sock drawer and took a pair of socks that had Rich's face on them.
Oh.
They were ridiculous. So in other words, I stepped all over my husband all day. I'm just saying. Much more Rich Eisen show when we come back. Is it bad that I stepped on his face all day? That's the question.
Why does he have socks with his face on?
No. Not one. Not two. Three pairs of socks.
Who got
him? With his face on them. I got dog socks for the kids.
Who gifted him that?
Somebody gifted him. And by the way, they're not that flattering. Like, it's like whenever there's a caricature of Rich, they always make him look like old and haggard. Like he's been married to me for 20 years.
Big head and the Aykroyd hair.
Yeah. And he looks gray and wan. I mean, like the word wan, W-A-N, wan. He looks tired. Maybe because I stepped on him all day. But that's what happened yesterday. Yep, I went into a sock drawer, took out one of his three pairs of Rich Eisen socks. You're welcome.
TJ, good news. Brett Maher, ready?
Yeah.
Made all six kicks during media availability today.
I know this.
Vizcaino missed his first and fourth attempts. 20-mile-an-hour winds. So Brett Maher, back.
Yeah, I mean, I knew this. Jane texted me this about half an hour ago.
He's back.
Well, then thanks for sharing the breaking news with us, TJ. I mean, we're talking cupcakes, and you're sitting on some good information.
I was asked to just hold it until the tweet came out.
I see. So.
Wow.
I see.
That's not what
Hoskins says we do. I'm just saying. Thank goodness. I am rooting for Brett Maher. I'm sorry, I am. Even though I do have great appreciation for Jose Vizcaino. What? I can't get past it.
Let it go.
Let it go. Third hour ahead, Marshall Faulk ahead. It's another Hall of Fame third hour of the Rich Eisen Show when we come back.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we couldn't have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.